continuing in Psalm 23 this morning. Psalm 23. He maketh me, verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your care over us. We thank you that you are our shepherd and you know what's best for us. You provide for our needs and far more all along the way. God, I ask for the filling of your Spirit to preach and teach the word to your church this morning. Pray for my dear wife. Fill her with your Spirit. Give her strength to minister and sign this morning. Dear God, be with Sister Stephanie in the nursery this morning. Fill her with your Spirit and use her there, dear God. We thank you for the ministry that's gone forth already in the children's Sunday school hour, the adult Sunday school hour. Might we apply what we've learned from your word. We thank you that we could each be here this morning, and again that our deaf folk are back, and they would, my dear wife, to be back here today. And Father, we ask your blessings upon the service, just that you'd be glorified, Lord, and that we would be edified. And may we never doubt your love. May we never forget to cast our cares upon you. And Lord, we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. For his glory, amen. Amen. You may be seated. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Brief review of what we saw last week. A sheep will not lie down in the midst of green pastures if he has trepidation or fear. If we are fearful of life and limb, some danger coming our way, the sheep's not going to lay down. The coyotes, if the wolves, the bears, if they know there's some danger or think there's some danger, they're not going to be able to lie down in those green pastures. We liken that to ourselves. If we have fear of our health or well-being is threatened, whatever it might be, health, finances, relationship many times, fear of what the future may bring, if we allow those things to trouble us, we don't cast our cares upon him, we won't have that peace of heart. And we understand that, we mentioned, sheep need ideal circumstances on the outside to have peace. God is working in our hearts so that we can have peace on the inside, regardless of what's on the outside. We talk about green pastures. Some preachers today may preach, well, God wants everything to be right in your life. All the money you want, all the joy you could have, all perfect health. Then you'll be able to have peace and lie down. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he wants to create green pastures in your heart, so that no matter what the world throws at you, you'll have his peace. And by the way, if your peace is based on outward things, then your peace can always be taken away from you. But if it's in your heart and it's in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said that peace cannot be taken away. My peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I you. That's the peace he wants us to have. So fear will prevent that. But God has for us what? He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, what? And a sound mind. We can trust God. Secondly, what will disturb the sheep? If there's competition among the sheep. They're fighting for who's going to be top sheep. That's in our nature, isn't it? We somehow just want to be better than somebody else. I want to be the best person that I do at work, at what I do at work. Did you know God that never called you to be the best person at what you do? God called you to do your best for Him. Whatever He's enabled you to do. That kind of a competitive mind will stop you from having peace. You think about that. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory." You know, we could, another term we could say for vainglory? Self-recognition. Look at me! I'm the best. Let's think about that. Fighting to be top sheep. I like what Philip Keller says in his book about that. The endless unrest generated in the individual who is always trying to get ahead of another, of the crowd, who is attempting always to be top man or woman on the totem pole, is pretty formidable to observe. It's an awesome thing to watch how stirred up someone can get, always trying to be first. He said he noticed that the sheep that seemed more passive oftentimes seemed to have more peace. The ones that didn't seem to care whether they were top sheep or not seemed to be able the ones to lay down first in the pasture. And that's, God wants us to not compare ourselves to others. You might think, well, I'll be happy as long as I'm better than this other person at work. As long as I'm better than who, I ask? Jesus? That's the one we're supposed to be looking at, right? No, we get peace serving Him. By the way, Bible talks about let us esteem others better than ourselves and don't be after vainglory. May I say this as a humbling, what I believe is a truth that we might just consider? It's a big world. I have no doubt there's someone that better than you at the job that you do. You might as well just lay that to rest. I can give you the names of people that I believe are preachers better than I preach. I can give you the names of those who I think are better bus drivers than myself. I can give you the names of those that I think are better husbands and fathers and grandfathers than myself. They're out there, folks. That's in my estimation. But listen, what does your estimation and what does my estimation matter? It doesn't, does it? We're to be looking at God, aren't we? That keeps us humble, doesn't it? We're not to be comparing ourselves one to another. God just called me to serve the best that I can with the gifts He has given me. He's called you to serve the best that you can with the gifts He has given you. And at the judgment seat of Christ, He won't be comparing you to somebody else. And He won't be comparing me to somebody else. You see that? It'll be just you and I. And He'll be happy if we just did what He called us to do. What's another thing? Well, let me just, before I go on, Joshua 1:8. Here's a key to being content. Here's success in God's eyes. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Did you get that? We are to be spreading the word. Now, we do it with our mouth. Our deaf brethren and sisters, they do it with their hands and sign. God says,
I don't want my truths to ever stop going forth from you. That's where he started out in Joshua 1:8. Don't let my word depart out of your mouth. That's where he started. You say, well, how do I do that, preacher? Well, now you got to continue. Look what he says. But thou shalt what? Meditate therein day and night. If God's word is supposed to be continually flowing from you, then you and I are going to need to know it. Amen. So to do that, see, the end is not just that I know it. The end is just is that it would be flowing from us. See? Is that you and I would be a blessing to somebody else. Remember what God said to Abraham? I will bless thee, and thou shalt be a blessing. Remember that? Then what does he finish with there in Joshua 1:8? Meditate therein day and night, and listen to this, that thou may, what? Observe to do all that is written therein. And by the way, God says, make sure you're not a hypocrite in the process. Be learning it all, so you can be putting it out, but don't let it pass you. As you're learning it, you apply that to your life first. And then you'll have that testimony of God's Spirit that you're right with Him also as you're putting it out. Well, what a challenge for all of us there. We move into the... trepidation, fear will keep the sheep from lying down. Competition, trying to be top sheep. Seeking vainglory will keep us from having that peace of lying down. The message today, thirdly, another thing that will keep the sheep from lying down in green pastures is aggravation. Aggravation. Especially during the warmer weather, the sheep can be tormented by a host of insects and parasites. This torment and aggravation will rob the sheep of the restful peace that is pictured in these green pastures. We'll think for a moment of some of these pests that bother the sheep. And by the way, we could liken the things that bother the sheep to the things that what? Bother us. The things that trouble us, that we let trouble us in our lives. Let them trouble us, we'll not be able to, we'll not have that green pasture in our heart that God wants us to have. We'll be aggravated. Won't have that rest. What are some of those things that bother the sheep? Well, there's nasal flies and bot flies. I think they're kind of the same thing from what I've studied. Warble flies, ticks. Some interesting things about the nasal fly, but the nasal bot fly. The nasal bot fly departs its larva in the sheep's nostrils. They then move and grow within the nasal cavity and the frontal sinuses. They mature through three larva stages and can grow to about 3 centimeters. Can you imagine that? At which time, the sheep eventually sneezes it out while he's getting fed or something. Many times, that's the first time the shepherd realizes it, when he sneezes the larva out of his nose. They usually cause little harm to the sheep, but can be an irritation to certain individual sheep. That's those irritations that stop us from resting. What are some symptoms of that might be troubled by this? Snorting, stamping of the feet, running in short bursts, burying the nose in the fleece of other sheep nearby. These are all indicative of a sheep being disturbed by botflies. An infected sheep may have discharge from the nose, sneezing, coughing, difficulty breathing. What's another insect that can bother the sheep and stop them from having that peace? Warble flies. These things lay eggs in the hair of the lower legs. The larvae emerge. They penetrate the skin and then migrate subcutaneously to the skin of the back. I see some of you already. Which they puncture, once the skin of the back, which they puncture for breathing holes. They insist, or they begin make a little home there once they get to the back under the skin and have poked the holes where they can breathe. They park there and begin to grow into the next stage of larva. So they insist beneath the skin and form smooth swellings known as warbles because it makes a smooth bump. The larvae eventually emerge through the breathing holes and fall to the ground where they pupate, or that's where they finish growing into the adult fly once they fall to the ground. What's the damage? Well, there's holes in the hide of the sheep. The adult flies, once they have fallen to the ground, adult flying around, they can cause restlessness to the flock. And there are also rare cases of paralysis due to dead larvae in the spinal canal. Interesting. Philip Keller says, only the diligent care of the owner who keeps a constant lookout for these insects will prevent them from disturbing the flock. Boy, we can see that would take great care. Realize the temptations and trials of life that we allow to unsettle our spirit, or as we say, get under our skin, so that our spirit is disturbed, not enjoying the rest that has been purchased for us in Christ. We think about Martha. Remember that? When Jesus met that dear family, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Mary had to have Martha had to have everything just perfect in the house for that dinner. What was Mary doing? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word. Master, I'm getting weary. Bid my sister that she come help me. Remember that? What was Jesus' answer? Martha, Martha, thou art careful, that's anxious, worried. Art careful and troubled about many things. One thing's needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary has decided to sit down with me here for a while. And I think what he was saying to Martha was, by the way, I wouldn't mind if you did too. Even if dinner was a little late, maybe you'd have to leave aside one course. That'd be okay. Because you're letting too many worldly circumstances get on your nerves, get under your skin. Learning to rest in Christ. We think about the cares that come on us. And by the way, cares has the idea of concerns. We are to be responsible people. We're supposed to do things in life and accomplish things. There's nothing wrong with concerns. It's when they become anxious and begin to worry about them. We're not looking to the Lord in faith. We're worried about things we can't change. Paul had cares. He asks prayer for himself. He says about all the trials that he went through. And he says, besides these, in 2 Corinthians 11:28, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul had concerns about all those churches God used him to start. And he's putting them before the Lord. Those cares and concerns. If we allow the cares and concerns to build up in our lives and hearts and don't give them to Jesus, we become like that thorny ground that God's word is sown on. Matthew 13:22. He also that receives seed among the thorns, seed is the word of God, he also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, Matthew 13:22, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Do you know what the world thinks? Riches are the answer to everything. I have all these worries, but if I just had more money. The cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and Mark 4:19 adds, and the lusts of other thing entering in, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. If we're so burdened and worried about outward circumstances all the time, the spirit is grieved. And we don't bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. And by the way, those fruits of the Spirit, folks, are the green pastures. That is the green pasture that God's trying to cultivate. That we would let His Spirit fill our lives. And that chokes the word if we're worrying about that. Things that can bother us. The co-worker who is so obnoxious. Those in government who believe the world's problems could be solved with just more of your taxes and mine. The rising costs and bills and the shrinking finances. The work that must be done and deadlines that must be met to beat the competition. Difficult personalities and families or friends are hard to get, some people are hard to get along with. Probably like you and I are sometimes. Difficult personalities make for strained relationships. Family, friends, co-workers. Problems, cares, burdens. The house needs repairs. Yeah. The car needs repairs. You need repairs. Some of you can say, oh, amen, maybe to all three of those even. Oh, your anxiety, all your care, come to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. It's not too big to leave it there, folks. The Bible talks about having patience, bearing up under the burdens of the world. And the Bible, when it talks about patience, it talks about it and uses two words for patience. And one, makuthermia, one of the Greek words, simply means patience with difficult people. And it's often translated long-suffering. We're going to meet difficult people in life, aren't we? Sometimes we're going to be the difficult people in life, aren't we? The other word is hupomone, and it is usually translated patience, and it has the idea of dealing with difficult circumstances. Times are going to get tough sometimes, folks. Sometimes the bills are going to go up and the finances are going to go down. Sometimes you and the car and the house are going to need repairs. But you know, when Christ came here with his peace, the same peace that he said he was going to leave us, he didn't exempt himself from those. Do we understand that? See, he didn't avoid the world or skirt the world or tell the world to go away. He overcame the world. That's the pasture he's trying to make in my heart and in your heart by his Holy Spirit and by his word. That we could have peace even in the midst of our storm-tossed life. Why? Because I have an anchor. I have a rock to cast my faith upon. Jesus Christ. Difficult circumstances. Jesus didn't excuse himself from either difficult circumstances or difficult people. Remember in his prayer in the garden, John 12:27? Now is what? Now is my soul troubled. Jesus said that, folks. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this hour came I but for this cause came I unto this hour. I came here for this, to go through this suffering. So, Father, your will be done. John 13:21, that's difficult circumstances. He didn't exempt himself from that. And he said, my peace I give unto you. I love that. Difficult people. Remember the Last Supper? John 13:21. When Jesus had thus said, he told them it was going to be his last meal with them. He was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. See, he was troubled in spirit. There was a difficult person there. Who was it? We know who it was. It was Judas. See, Jesus loved him every bit as much as he loved the others. And it troubled him that he had rejected such love. And that therefore he became a void which Satan could fill. Christ went all through all that for you and I. Folks, we got to take our cares and give them to the Lord. Amen. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. Don't let those cares burden you down. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Come to the mercy seat. Leave it there. In Matthew 6, we are to take no thought. No anxious concern about what shall we eat, what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed. What does Jesus say? Your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. By the way, how good of a father do you think your heavenly Father is? I would have to say he's the best. And he has everything. He owns everything. He made everything. And if I'm his child, I suppose I'll have what I need when I need it. And we need to remember that. Teach ourselves. It's hard in the midst of trials to remember that sometimes. Anxious for nothing. The Serenity Prayer, most of us are familiar with. American theologian Reinhold Niebuhr, if I'm pronouncing that right, is best known for this Serenity Prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Amen. And I would add to that, and don't forget to give them all to God. Don't forget to give them all to God. Peace I leave with you, Jesus said. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. the things we worry about we can't affect or change. We must cast on our Lord. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now that idea is casting. It's an urgent command. Don't tarry. Don't think for a moment you can handle it yourself. Cast it on him. I'm burdened down with worries. I'm in danger in my spirit if I continue trying to carry these alone. Don't tarry, Jesus says. Cast it upon him. Well, I'll give it to you in a minute, Jesus. That's not what he said. Well, I'll think about it. He says, no, that is detrimental to your spiritual life. If you're worrying about it, cast it upon me. Wife, you know, I've learned some lessons. This thing of casting cares in this past week. We appreciate your prayers. God's hand is strong in guidance. Lisa began getting sick, and you know the story. It's gone through, and having fevers come and go. The first night we got home from the hospital, we sat on the couch together, just kind of leaning on each other. Pretty tired. Bottom line is, and I'll tell you, somehow God works, and you know what your prayers were doing. Well, we went to our medical appointment, I think it was on Wednesday, when the fever had come back again. It had broken once, come back again, got up to 103.5. By the way, 104 is a signal for brain damage beyond that. And so we got an appointment right away. We went to urgent care. They diagnosed it as strep throat, which we found out later it was not. We had gone to urgent care earlier in the week. Wednesday we go to the doctor's appointment, and he looks at it. Yeah, this isn't strep throat. But he's looking and looking and looking, and since her blood pressure spiked and she almost passed out in the room there, he said, you need to go over to emergency. I'll call over there. So we went over. We went over to emergency, and we spoke to the doctors there. Long story short, they didn't know what it was, and so it wasn't too long we were there that the doctors began to grow the more we're seeing her, because it's a resident hospital, so they're also training those that are finishing their MD to get their MDs. So I think we were in the emergency room for about maybe 15 minutes. And after that, there was never more than, you know, two to five doctors in the room at a time when they came to see her. They looked at everything, and they heard the stories of where we were, of how this sickness was progressing with these fevers and the chills that shake your whole body, and the headache that was the most debilitating of all the symptoms was the headache. The distress on her face, it was the only time I've ever seen that was when, as an adult, she had chicken pox, and she had them so bad they were on her tongue and on the bottom of her tongue and the palms of her hands and her feet. And distress on her face, that's the only time I'd ever seen that before. And so basically, they're, you know, we don't know what this is. But they were saying all along, everywhere he went, it doesn't seem like you know, because there was the fear of a tick bite, obviously, and the fear, therefore, of bacterial spinal meningitis. Or Lyme's disease as well. So the one doctor suggested, he says, well, you may want to have a lumbar puncture, they call it, also known as a spinal tap. And then maybe that's the best way we know of eliminating the possibility of spinal meningitis. But then he listed the side effects. It was scary, folks. Especially when he said that one of them was severe headaches. That was the part of the thing that was scared me the most. And that was the most painful already. And he said, now, she's not manifesting enough of the symptoms of spinal meningitis that we deem it she ought to have one right away. We're not saying there's anything right or wrong with it, but just if you want to eliminate it. She'd already signed the paper and everything, and I didn't have peace. And I basically told the doctors there in the room, there's a bunch of them there, I said, listen, because she looked at me, and she says, you tell me what to do. Put yourself there, husband. I didn't even think about it. She says, I wonder what those doctors were thinking. Maybe I was some kind of a dictative monster, you know. I've got to do whatever my husband says, even if I die, you know. I wonder what they're... It didn't even dawn on me. She brought there, they might be thinking that, you know. Because we knew what she was thinking. She knew that I'm the spiritual leader, and I'm going to, you know, she's looking to that. And I'll tell you, folks, I was scared. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what decision to make. And so I did the only thing I needed to do. We need more time to pray. That's what I told them. I said, we just want to wait. We'll stay overnight. We'll plan on making a decision on this thing before we leave the hospital. But I just need more time to get hold of some people and pray. Because if I'm going to make this decision, I want to know. I want to know there's folks praying. If I'm going to say yay or no, yes or no on a LP, they call it, lumbar puncture, then I want to know there's a whole lot of people praying when I make that decision. So we waited. And a few folks are praying. Other folks are praying. We found out we had called Rebecca, and she was praying that maybe a doctor might come who had more wisdom on the thing and might know more help, something would happen. Some of you might have been praying something along that line as well. So we waited. The fever came back again in the night. They wanted us to wait, let the fever build, so they could take a blood culture while the fever was up. Because that would, fever means if there's bacteria in there, the bacteria is active in the blood. And if they could get it while the fever's up, they would have maybe have a little bit more knowledge. So we did that. We'll tell you more details. I'm going to give them all this morning because I'm not going to be longer than I want to be this morning. Morning came. And the resident among the, we call it, she began to call them her posse, four or five doctors. One of the residents was a very sweet young lady, great bedside manner. And her name was Leslie. I got it right for the first time. I kept getting it wrong, and her name was Leslie. And she came into the room on Friday morning. I was praying this because I needed to make a decision, yes or no. And you folks are praying. How's God going to show me?
How's he going to do that? So I began to pray. I said, God, and in my limited wisdom, in my ignorance, as I'm trying to be nice to myself, in my ignorance, I prayed this. Well, God, maybe if something would happen, and I didn't pray any ill will upon any of the doctors, but maybe just the doctor that would be able to do the lumbar puncture wouldn't be available to do it that day. Somehow it would be blocked so they wouldn't be fitted on a schedule that day. And by the way, if that would have been the case, we wouldn't have stayed longer in the hospital just to wait for that. It was something we could have after we get out of the hospital. That would be clear. So I prayed, God, maybe you could do that. But I've learned, I don't limit God, because he is the shepherd. And I don't tell him how to do things. In my limited understanding, and in my weakness, I prayed that. But then I added this, because I've learned. But God, show me that, or something else, or in some other definite way, so that when the time comes, I'll know she is supposed to have this thing, or she's not supposed to have this thing before we leave. That was what I prayed. That's what we prayed. Next morning, Leslie comes in. She says, she's all bright and smiling. In her words, she's, how you doing? Lisa was feeling better in the morning, and the fever had gone like it had many times. And she said, you're so lucky today. She was beaming. She said, you're so lucky today. And you know what? We didn't have any idea what was coming. We looked at ourselves and smiled. She said, because Dr. Small is here today. He is the chief of internal medicines of the hospital. He is a brilliant doctor. He's young. What my wife referred to him as Doogie Howser. But he came in. And by the way, all the residents love him. And we've heard from others that if the residents love the chief doctor, he's a good one. They're because that means they're being treated well by him and they're learning from him. She was beaming that he was here. What happened was the doctor we talked to Thursday night, his shift ended. We didn't know that. His shift ended Thursday night, and Dr. Small started Friday morning. They came in there. He asked her to go through the whole story again. She did. This is like the sixth time now. Didn't sound like a spinal meningitis to him. Began questioning about our trek and our what did we do while we were in the cabin and stuff? We did a lot of hiking. We were in the woods a lot. We checked her. I checked her for tick bites. Didn't find any. They, by the way, Leslie checked her for tick bites again. Went over. Didn't find any. But Dr. Small says this thing is just acting like it's tick-borne something. He said, now we know you guys want to get out of here because we're self-pay. And we wanted to, we talked about being discharged and how long we're going to be. He said, we know you guys want to get out of here. And I said, hold it. We want to know what it is if we can. If you need some more time to figure that out, we're not rushing you. And he was like, oh, well, I'm glad to hear that. Because I'm glad that he says, because we want to look at it. So he had five doctors. And they spent, in between whatever cases they had, he suspected it was a tick-borne something. And they researched it out. And what his solution was, we're going to find what those doctors use in Pennsylvania. Because no doubt there are people come in bitten by bugs. And they've got that bug-carrying illness, whatever it is. And by the way, they don't know what bug bit them, and they don't know what ill it is. They must have something general they give to them. You knew of the one antibiotic, doxy something, I'm not going to try to... But what it was for a certain class of tick bites and tick-borne diseases. And it was a very mild antibiotic. But for that certain class of ticks, it was effective for all the ticks in that class but one. And he said, we're gonna prescribe that for you. We don't know if that's what it is. But it's so mild that some people use it for acne. So we asked him about the LP. No. We don't need to go that route. So I prayed for a doctor's maybe car to be broken down or something, whoever you might be. And God said, how about I give you five doctors that tell you you don't need it? Will that be definite enough? You see, because he's the shepherd. I didn't have to know how he was going to make it definite. He didn't really need my ideas. I didn't have to say what I said. I could have just said, God, you make it definite. You know, sometimes it takes us a while to learn that he's the shepherd, amen? He's the sovereign. We can let him lead. And I'm going to not even finish my last point. I'll maybe finish it tonight or maybe next week. I'm going to finish with this illustration. God has brought us closer through this in our relationship. I know he has. He's grown us through that. Our love's stronger. We were before those doctors and we said we need some time to pray. My wife, very distressed. I was distressed. But the next morning, folks would come into my wife. Remember some time ago I mentioned about being a deacon, ministering to a lady who was dying of cancer. And she was more of encouragement to me than I was to her because she was filled with the Spirit. My wifey was joking with the attendants that were coming in. He could see the light of God's strength in her eyes. And I was looking at my same God coming out of those eyes that I saw so many years ago. It was my wife on that bed. And I thought, God, here I am thinking the only deliverance, and I'm waiting to see your hand as if you're healed. But I see you now. And we had hope. And we were encouraged by that. And that was a witness. The doctor said, she has been the model patient. They would come in, our Bibles were open on the bed, we were reading and praying. But let me tell you something. And I close with this thought of God's power. It blows my mind. About this same time this year, you might remember, we had a trip scheduled to be on a cruise in Alaska. Our desires for hope of that cruise was to restore communication with her mom and dad, my in-laws, her side. Oftentimes, there wasn't any communication. And they bowed out of that because of his health. Do guess what God did? They were calling. We called them. We spent hours talking on the phone with them. Folks, this hasn't happened in many years. In many years. And we'll be calling them again. God brought us together. And He said, you thought it'd be done on a cruise to Alaska. But I'm going to use a trip to the emergency room. And do it. Isn't God a good God? Isn't He a powerful God? And it was so hard to see night after night. I mean, day after day. We got home and sat on the couch. Both of us exhausted and hurt much more than I'm sure. Afraid to go to bed because of what would come. But you know what? My God was enough. Because we went to bed that night. I think I shared this in the text. We went to bed. We stayed up on the couch because we were afraid to go to bed. That's when it kept coming. I was laying there and we had been side by side and talking. She was leaning her head on my shoulder, just falling asleep. I said, well, because we're praying. It's hard to cast your care upon Him, but we're praying and we're doing it the best that we can. God, please, if you will. Not tonight. Because you're alone. We had the medications and stuff and ready to do what we needed to do. He went to bed. I'm kind of laying up against her. She took some Tylenol early to maybe curb the fever and the headache. As the night goes on, I'm laying up against her and I can feel it. The heat's coming. And pretty soon, to me, she feels like an oven. She's not moving. What she would do, she would lay there and put like a cold washcloth there, and she would just lay there very still. But be awake all night. Because the headache wouldn't allow her to sleep. And the chills would wake her up and some of the fever stuff came. Well, so she's got her back to me and I'm feeling the heat. So I pulled the blankets up so that I knew that there was some cooler air coming in around me. And I'm watching for the chills. Because those would wake her up. I'm watching if the fever would progress and those chills would come. You know what? They never came. She had a fever. It came and broke twice that night. But she slept through it. And you know what God said? See? I didn't even need to take the fever away for her to get some sleep. I didn't need your suggestion on how to make it definite to you. And I didn't need your understanding to know how I could help her have some rest. Even with the fever, she slept through. And I knew God's people were praying. And I wanted to share that with you all because I tell you, we felt God's hand there, God holding our hand in a way that some of you have been there. Uncertain things, especially regarding your very health and well-being. I mean, Rebecca was talking to the grandkids about how, you know, sick she was, and one of them asked, you know, well, what if she dies? And Rebecca said, well, let's talk about that. And they talked about that. Lisa heard that. She lost it. You know. But I want to tell you, God was wonderful through it. And it was scary. But our shepherd was with us. He was here in your prayers. He was here in our prayers. And there was no mistake in His presence through it. And though it was scary, He brought us out on the other side. He showed His glory to us. He showed His glory to the doctor. He increased our love and He restored that relationship. her in, Lord, all through that. I didn't have a plan that could help us all that. How about you? God said, I do. I do. So when that hard time comes your way, and you don't know why, or what will be the end of it, you just trust your shepherd. Okay? Because he's able to do. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who cares for us most? He does. Who's able the most? He is. Sometimes it takes us a while to learn. He is the Lord. And he will lead and guide and provide. And we love this church. And we're thankful for your prayers. And my hope is that each one of you, in your whatever's facing you, when that time comes, and maybe it's there, that God, the same way, will encourage you even as he did us. I know you're afraid. I know you don't have the answers. You don't even know how to pray. But trust me. I love you. You rest in my hand as best you can, and when you're nervous, pray again. I'll bring you through this. God's a good God. God's a good God. We love you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this church. We are so looking forward to coming this morning and being back with our family in Christ. And a good portion of it was because we wanted to report to our brethren all the blessings that you poured out upon us and the strength and encouragement and direction that you gave, because you are our shepherd and you're our Father. Well, we thank you, praise your name. I pray that you'd encourage your people by your Spirit and by your word. Father, that we may ever look to thee for the strength, grace, encouragement, love, hope, Father, that we need from thee, that in all things you may bring us to the place where we can glorify you more fully with our lives. And Father, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. Thank you for strengthening my dear wife so she could be here today, so the deaf could be here as well with us and know the good hand of our God upon us. And Father, I do thank you. And I do praise you and pray for continued healing for her and for all in our midst who are struggling with those things, which we have many of them on the prayer sheet. Help us, give us grace going through them, and deliver us when that is what you would deem best to glorify your name. Father, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.